going live.
All right, we'll go ahead and call the meeting to order then. Jessica, would you take the roll, please?
Councilmember Cardoza?
Here.
Councilmember Christensen?
Here.
Councilmember Laraway?
Here.
Council President McPherson?
Here.
Mayor Steer?
Here. And if you'll join me for the Pledge of Allegiance, please.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Well, we've had our share of challenges at City Hall here over the past week, so our clerk's office is essentially out. We have Stephanie's done a great job of stepping up and taking care of all the business in there, of taking care of the work of three people in there. But so Jessica is here tonight to fill in for Chris and the clerk's position and take the recordings and all of that. So thank you for that. First item is the consent agenda. Is there any additions or questions or anything you want pulled for discussion?
Rich, have anything?
Okay.
Then I move we approve the consent agenda as published.
Second.
Motion is made and seconded to approve the consent agenda. Is there any further discussion? Okay. Jessica, we do a roll call on these. Would you do a roll call vote for us, please?
Councilmember Cardoza?
Yes.
Councilmember Christensen?
Yes.
Councilmember Laraway?
Yes.
Council President McPherson?
Yes.
Mayor Steer?
All right. And that motion carries. Next item is a item 6A, public hearing and consideration to approve findings of fact and conclusions of law for case numbers 19-14AN annexation and 1911-S preliminary plat, Patagonia East, Ridge and Lakes. That's another one of the tragedies that we had, is Troy was severely injured from a fall from a ladder last week. So I'll let Jace, did you want to present that?
You're better looking than me.
Good evening, Mr. Mayor, members of the council. For the record, Jay Stellman, Interim Planning and Zoning Director, 751 West 4th Street. Before you this evening is the findings of fact and conclusion laws for the denial of the annexation for Patagonia East Ridge and Lake subdivision. In our whirlwind of a Thursday to get packets submitted, there was a couple errors that need to be corrected on record for the findings of fact. That staff will adjust and then submit to have signed. I'd just like to go over them quick on record so we have those out there.
Okay, thank you.
But the first on the top left, in the matter of applications of currently list Trilogy Development, it should say West Park Companies. Mm-hmm. Under 3.2.1 currently reads the land proposed for annexation is comprised of multiple parcels totaling approximately 97 acres. Due to the list and the calculation, it should read 147 acres. And the final item would be under 5.4, which currently reads the annexation proposed by the annexation application in case number 20-01AN is unable to connect to city sewer facilities. It should read the annexation proposed by the annexation application in case number 19-14AN is unable to connect to city sewer facilities. And those are the corrections that staff had.
All right. Very good. So this was a public hearing just to finalize the findings of facts and conclusions of law. So if there is no further discussion for council, we can go ahead and have a motion as such with the changes that staff added.
Okay, then I move we
close the public hearing.
Close the public hearing.
Second.
Motion's made and seconded to close the public hearing for case number 1914AN annexation and 1911-S preliminary plat for Patagonia East Ridge and Lakes. Any further discussion?
Mayor, I've got a question.
Okay.
Since this is actually published on the agenda, does it have to be republished because of this, the name specifically being Treeology Development?
I don't think we need to do that. I think that we'd just do that, and the findings of facts would be my opinion.
Okay.
Okay. Anything further? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? That motion carries.
Then I would then move we approve. I got to approve the findings and facts and conclusion of law for case 19-AN, 19-14AN, and 1911S for Patagonia East Ridge and Lakes with the changes made public by Jace Hellman.
Second.
Did I get all that?
Okay, motions is made and seconded to approve the findings of facts and conclusions of law for case numbers 19-14-AN and 1911-S with the staff changes on the findings of facts. Is there any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? And that motion carries. That takes us to item 6B, public hearing and consideration to approve ordinance number 2020-32 for the CUNA Urban Renewal Plan for the CUNA West Urban Renewal Project. Lisa Holland.
Good evening, Mayor and Council members. Lisa Holland, Economic Development Director, for the record. It has been a couple years of process to get here tonight with this council hearing, so I appreciate you being involved in the process over those last couple years. I included a memo for you in the packet that kind of goes through the timeline of what we've worked on to get to where we are now. And we're going to walk through the PowerPoint presentation, and we have a few guests with us today that I'm going to cede some of my time to so they can walk through it. So Lisa Bachman is going to walk through kind of the nuts and bolts of our outreach process and what the urban renewal plan itself entails. And then we've also got Megan Conrad here to kind of walk through some of the legal with you, as well as Olivia Metz is going to join us via phone to talk about the economic feasibility. And we know that there was a lot of information provided in the packet, over 228 pages for you to read, so hopefully you've had a great reading material session for you. But we'll walk through kind of the basics of it for you, answer any questions you have tonight, and that's where we'll go from there. So I'm going to start and hand my time over to Lisa Bachman to get us started. She's with JUB Engineers and with one of the consultants on our project.
Okay, thank you. Lisa Bachman, welcome.
Hello.
Long time no see.
Thank you for the record. Lisa Bachman with JUB Engineers. I got to remember our new address. 2760 West Excursion Lane, Meridian, Idaho, Suite 400.
Is that real, or did you just make that up?
I think it's close enough. You can check if you'd like. But we've only been there a little over a month, so I almost said the old address.
Ah.
But as Lisa said, I'm going to go over the public outreach process a little bit about the planning boundary, and then also cover the projects and priorities. And then Olivia Metz, who will be joining us on the phone, will go over the economic feasibility study, and then Megan, the attorney on the project, will go through the plan itself and the legal requirements. And I'm just trying to stall out here until we get started on that. There we go. Fourth slide, please. Okay, perfect. Thank you. So this slide was included in your packet and includes an overview of the public outreach that we've done thus far. I know we've gone over this several times as we've kind of gone through this process over the last year and a half. But as you can see, we started off with some education with the community to talk about financing tools that are available to the city, with Urban Renewal District being one of those. We also had an economic development strategic planning session with multiple people in the community and stakeholders. The city identified a link on your website that includes Urban Renewal District information that we've updated throughout the process. We also sent out letters to all of the property owners within an eligibility area that I'll go over in more detail here in a minute to inform them of that and to make sure that they're aware that this is in process. We've also conducted extensive outreach to taxing entities and planning organizations. And we also have a partnership with ACHG and potentially Ada County in the future on this. And then we concluded with a couple of virtual workshops in August of this year. Next slide, please. So I know we've gone over this a couple of times, and there's a nice picture of you. Well, some of you. We now have a new council member, Laraway, but this kind of outlines the big steps that we've gone through to get to this. We started with the eligibility study, and that was concluded in April of 2020, which did include a larger area than we actually arrived at, but that's okay. We were able to make a larger area eligible to be included in the district. And then in May, if you recall, the council directed staff to move forward with the urban renewal plan and the feasibility study, which also, of course, was supported by the Urban Renewal Agency, and they've been along for the ride all along the way and providing input as we've gone through this. They also reviewed the plan and recommended approval to go through this process with the Planning and Zoning Commission, which the Planning and Zoning Commission in October reviewed it and determined that it was compliant with the City of Kuna Comprehensive Plan, future land use map. That was their main finding that's required by state code that they're to make. And then tonight, of course, we're here with City Council for the required public hearing. And then we will go on to adopt the ordinance, which could be done tonight, and Megan will talk about that in more detail. Next slide, please. So maps and planning area. Next slide. So this is just a quick little snapshot, not that you can read it very well, but it is the future land use map for the City of Kuna Comprehensive Plan, which is really the basis of how we identified an eligibility area to look at, and that primarily focused on industrial and commercial areas. Next slide, please. So this map showed the initial eligibility study area that we looked at, which, like I said, is a broader area. It included mostly incorporated parcels, but some unincorporated county parcels, as you can see highlighted on the map there. And we were prepared to work with those property owners that are currently conducting agricultural activities on the properties to get consent forms, and then also work with Ada County to get them to go into an agreement with the city to allow parcels in the unincorporated county to be included. Our journey along the way made it such that we had a property owner along Highway 69. Tom Nicholson was reluctant to sign the agricultural consent form Therefore, we went ahead and removed those properties as well as the any other county parcels within the area, but that certainly contains and those can be potentially added back in at a later date. Next slide, please. So this map right here shows you where we landed on the actual urban renewal district boundary. This is the legal description we also prepared that this area reflects. So you'll see on the west side is 10 Mile. On the east is kind of where Sailor is to the south. It also includes Avalon, Main, Shoreline, and some industrial areas. So we were able to still capture the downtown business district, some industrial areas, and then also entryway corridors. So moving on to projects and priorities that were identified within the urban renewal district planning area. We divided it into kind of four sections, one being transportation and pathways. That was a big priority communicated through the public. They wanted to see Avalon and Katy approved, of course, an overpass, and the entryway corridor, streetscape pathway improvements that also are identified in a comprehensive plan, as well as any street pathway extensions within the district. Public infrastructure projects that you'll see in the plan include fiber and broadband, sewer, water, irrigation, street lighting, sidewalk, and public parking areas within the district. And of course, downtown projects, 4th Street, Avenue A through D, from Main Street to 4th, public alley improvements, potentially purchasing lighted structures for redevelopment, and then also the 4th Street gym property. And greenfield redevelopment, what this is it's bare land that's not currently improved that would be significantly upgraded in its use. And so those things include Boise Avenue and Linder, you know, the 40 acres or so adjacent to the fire station, Avalon Indian Creek frontage properties along Avalon, and then industrial areas south of town. One thing we do want to kind of emphasize here is that the urban renewal agency is not going to build buildings. Rather, we can build infrastructure to support these types of developments. So does anybody, you guys have any questions on the items that I covered before we have Olivia go over the economic feasibility study?
Questions for Lisa? Okay.
Thank you.
My name is Olivia Metz, 809 East Foster Avenue, Coeur d'Alene, Idaho. I was trying to listen in on Facebook, so I didn't hear what Lisa had to say, but I was trying to follow along a little bit. So with that said, I'll just kind of stick to the economic feasibility portion of the project. The current assessed value of the district as it is right now is $111.6 million. Can everybody hear me okay?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. And which is 6.8% of the totals of the city's total taxable value, which a district, all of districts in a city has a capacity to 10% of the city's taxable value. Based on the future development that was projected out by, based on future land uses, as well as proposed projects that the city staff worked with JUB on, we were able to build out the economic feasibility portion of this, which a lot of the proposed projects, all of them were mostly infrastructure projects and were then prioritized by city staff. Only those projects in priority level A were ran in the analysis, which came to the total of a tune of $17 million, and they included water, sewer, and other public infrastructure projects. However, if the development occurs more quickly than projected, or if other funding sources became available through grants or other partnerships, then the agency may reprioritize some of those projects in levels B and C. And moving on, if fully developed, the assessed valuation within the district we estimated at $494.6 million, an increase from $111.6 million. This would increase the city's total valuation, or has the potential to increase the city's total valuation of 31%, and that's if no other development occurred outside the district. So a pretty substantial increase based on the public infrastructure that would be invested in the district. The job impacts were really estimated based on the future development that was going to be built out. And so going to the next slide, this graph shows, I'm assuming you're on the graph that shows a graph, or the slide that shows a graph. So showing this, the frozen base would be $111.6 million. So that's the total taxable value within the district at this time. And so whatever projects and development that would occur within the district during the life of the district would increase the taxable value through, you know, perpetuity. So as you can see in this graph, it really shows how urban renewal really is a good catalyst for development and ultimately tax revenue for a city. So with that said, I try to keep it short, but if you guys have any questions, I'm happy to answer any.
Okay. Does anybody have any questions for Olivia? Thank you, Olivia. Appreciate that very much.
Okay, thank you.
I'm sorry, Olivia?
Yes.
You said you were having trouble hearing on Facebook. Is that Facebook, you're not able to listen very well, or was that something on your end that was?
No, it looks like other people could not hear as well, but right before Lisa called me, I was able to start hearing the remainder of Lisa's presentation. So,
okay. All right. Well, thank you for that.
Yes. And I just turned it on, and it does sound like it's working now.
Yeah, let's go ahead and see what we can do to get him on board. And you may have to talk really close to the mic. I'm not sure. It almost sounds like that might be the problem. So.
Is it?
Yeah, I clicked on it and I did this and waited about 10 seconds, put it down, and then sat down and counted. It's about 30 seconds delay. So.
John Speaker, if I can hand it over to the post office.
Thank you.
Okay. Yeah, if you would just state your name and address for the record, please.
Thank you, Mayor, Council members. My name is Megan Conrad. I'm an attorney at Elam & Burke in Boise, Idaho, 251 East Front Street, Boise, Idaho, 83702. If you could please advance to the next slide. You'll see you go from graphics to a lot of words. That's lawyer slides for you. The first thing I just wanted to comment on is just a reminder that an urban renewal plan is not in and of itself a contract. It is it provides a basic framework within which development occurs within the geographic boundaries of the district. To the extent development occurs within the district or the agency has development agreements with both public entities and or developers, those are separate agreements that the agency would enter into at that time. Thank you so much. So I thought that it would be a good place to start with identifying what are the elements of an urban renewal plan, and those are set forth in 50-2905. There are 8 elements that need to be addressed within an urban renewal plan, and those elements do now have a specificity requirement due to legislative changes that occurred in and around 2016. The first element relates to a 10% valuation requirement. So your base assessed value cannot exceed 10% of the taxable value of the city. That is a finding that is specifically made in the plan narrative in section 502.3. The next element is a statement listing the kind, number, and location of all the proposed public works or improvements within the revenue allocation area. Section 301 of the plan describes in narrative form how those revenue allocation funds will be used to support the development of projects that are more specifically identified in Attachment 5 of the plan. And Attachment 5 of the plan identifies the funding improvements by priority. There's priority A, B, and C, and those are really defined with a very significant level of specificity, including the cost. Element 3 is a requirement of an economic feasibility study, and that is what Olivia just reviewed with you. That is what we refer to as Attachment 5. It's the finding that the proposed infrastructure improvements, the proposed revenue coming from new development within the district, exceeds the estimated cost of the proposed project within the district, and you make a finding that the project is economically feasible moving forward. The fourth element is a detailed list of economic project costs. Again, that finding is found in the Attachment 5, which is the economic feasibility study. The fifth element is a fiscal impact statement showing the impact of the revenue allocation area on the overlapping taxing districts. At its simplest form, the impact on the affected taxing districts is the delay in the realization of an increase in budget capacity from new construction that's occurring within the district. So taxing entities establish their budgets, they levy to that budget, but as you know, public entity budgets can increase by a factor that includes new construction. And so that is delayed over the life of the district and is realized upon termination. That is described in some detail in section 502.8. And is also shown in Attachment 5 through the new development valuation estimates over the life of the district. The sixth element is a description of the methods of financing the estimated project costs. This plan is intended to be a pay-as-you-go and or a developer advance funding type plan. What that means is that the agency would have to accrue revenue over a period of time until it has enough in its coffers to fund the public infrastructure improvements in the plan. Or to the extent you have a developer that comes in
But due to the significant cost of the public infrastructure improvements, needs some help in getting that project. So they would actually advance fund the public infrastructure costs, and then the agency would agree to reimburse that developer, property owner, even public entity, over time through the life of the district, based on a certain percentage that flows off the new development or whatever the agreement may be. Those are all funding mechanisms that occur and are identified in the plan. A termination date for the plan is the element number 7. That is specified in section 800 of the plan. Under Idaho law, a plan can only be active for 20 years. The statute does recognize that the agency is entitled to receive revenue in the year following the termination date. It's just a recognition of how we receive our dollars in arrears. There's also a process that's set forth in that termination section that identifies as a best practice when the agency should issue its resolution of intent to terminate, just simply to allow the affected taxing districts sufficient notice to really build that into its budgeting as it goes into that following fiscal year. And then finally, there a requirement is a description of the disposition or retention of any assets. So the agency is under statute and as specified in the plan may acquire real property in some instances. To the extent there are different revenue sources to support retention that's not revenue allocation funds, then the agency may retain those assets long term. In general, any assets that are acquired by an agency are disposed of at termination, and oftentimes the city is the most appropriate recipient for those. And that's how it's been defined in Section 800, that the disposition is typically would go to the city unless there's a better public entity that would be a recipient of those assets. So if you could please read that. Just quickly wanted to recognize again, there were significant statutory changes that became effective July 1, 2016. And one of those is applicable to plans that are adopted post July 1, 2016 and the limitations on any amendments to those plans and revenue allocation areas. To the extent this plan is amended by City Council ordinance, it would trigger a base reset to the year following the adoption of that ordinance. And effectively what that does is eliminate the agency's revenue stream, so it would be starting over, and it doesn't extend the life of the plan, it just resets it. So we always want to be mindful of that, especially when we have some maybe outstanding obligations that could be impacted by that loss of revenue. There are exceptions to that base reset requirement, specifically ministerial or technical changes. The agency is permitted to extend its revenue allocation area one time by 10% as authorized pursuant to 502033. De-annexations are always permissible and or amendments to support the growth of existing commercial or industrial projects. So just something that we need to be aware of and that applies to this project area, or would apply it to the extent this. So next slide, please. This has been hit on a couple times, but here's a summary of the plan approval process that this has gone through. There's the phase one, which is the eligibility phase, and that went through not only the initial study of the area, but also there was a supplement that was done. And then it also hits the timeline that this plan has processed through, with starting with the agency board approval, moving to the city. Notice was published in the paper twice of this public hearing. Notice was given to all of the affected taxing districts no less than 30 days in advance of this public hearing. And not only notice, but the plan itself was also delivered to all of the affected taxing districts. It did go before planning and zoning for a finding of conformity with the comp plan. And now is the time set for the City Council public hearing. Next slide. We've already covered the 10% valuation limitation that is expressly addressed in the plan. There's also a nuance effective July 1, 2020. There was a change in the allocation of revenue related to the highway district levies.
The default moving forward for plans adopted after July 1, 2020 is that certain highway districts are will now receive that increase or that revenue flowing from that increment levy. To the extent, unless there is an agreement that's entered into between the agency and ACHD that addresses a different allocation of those funds, that agreement has been negotiated and is actually on the ACHD agenda for approval tomorrow. And then we'll come before the agency board in tentatively in December. Next slide. So in attempting to decide next steps and what is being specifically asked, you know, today is the time set for the City Council public hearing on the plan. And to the extent that the council is supportive of the plan, the readings can be waived and the ordinance can be considered for adoption. There are a number of post-adoption steps that or transmittals that have to occur. Specifically, the ordinance summary would need to be published. The ordinance would need to be recorded as well as the map and legal. And then there would be another round of transmittals to the affected taxing districts, the state tax commission, and county officials. And all of that would need to be done by December 31st of 2020, which would give this plan a retroactive base year of January 1, 2020. So with that, happy to stand for any questions.
Okay, question for Megan. All right, very good. Thank you. Lisa, did you want to sum up? Then we'll go to public hearing.
Mayor and Council, I'm happy to stand for any questions. I know we missed some of Lisa's presentation in my earlier conversation on the Facebook Live, but just a summary again, urban renewal is the ability to focus dollars from kind of a specific area into infrastructure improvements, and that's really what we've put together with this plan. Our goal is to try and find some of those infrastructure projects with roadways, with
Might have to talk louder and closer.
Sorry. Can everybody hear me still? Okay. The goal is really for infrastructure improvements for the city of CUNA, kind of our core area. So working on roadway projects, we've got great partnership with ACHD, and working on sewer, water, public streets, roadways, sidewalks, pathways, those kind of things. We won't be using it for building facilities, but we can use it to help incentivize new projects to come in by helping them with the sewer, water, and infrastructure needed for some of those projects. So I'll pause and just see if there's any questions, but I would also just say thank you to everybody who's been a support partner in showing up to the workshops we've had, to the city clerk's office for going above and beyond to help us with the notifications, for the planning and zoning team for their great work, and just thanks to everybody for being involved.
Okay, very good. Anybody have any further questions for Lisa? All right, this is a public hearing, so we'll go ahead and open this up for testimony. I didn't have anybody sign up. Is there anybody who wishes to testify on this matter and didn't get a chance to sign in? Okay, seeing none, did we have anyone that wrote in or signed up online that we know of?
No, sir.
No, sir. Okay. Well, that's easy then. Rebuttal?
I'm good.
All right. Well, thank you. It's been good and interesting to see this come all the way around. You know, we've talked about this many times and have never been able to put together a district that actually penciled out and made sense that was worth pursuing. So it's good to have this finally moving forward. And one of the major considerations for me was always that we didn't use this, when the legislature made the changes to urban renewal districts, they did that because they felt that there were some districts that were actually taking advantage and using the dollars for building things that they didn't think were appropriate for going forward without public without the public being able to vote on and bonding for and that type of thing. So I think the way we've done this, and it's always been our mission and goal from the very beginning, was to make this used for infrastructure and to help grow development where development might not otherwise happen. As we all know, CUNA and our residential as opposed to commercial tax base is about 90% residential. So in order for us to ever step out of that hole, the more commercial we get, it seems like the houses are building up fast enough that we don't really gain any ground there. So this at least gives us some opportunity to make up some of that difference and to fill some of those gaps. So, you know, one of the biggest issues this year is property taxes, and that's going to be hot and heavy at the legislature this year, and so there's going to be a lot of discussion on that. So this is an attempt to kind of help balance that so that property owners, citizens and property owners are a little more balanced out on that property tax world. So I appreciate all the efforts that have gone into this, and I think we're at a good point, and I'm glad to see this moving forward. So, Council, any comments or further discussion on any of this?
Rich is thinking hard.
No, you're hardly just looking thinking. Pretty over here.
You're hardly thinking then. Warren, anything?
No, I think the mayor covered it pretty well and some thoughts I was having with it, so
okay.
I'm good. Nothing to add.
All right.
So I'm going to go ahead and do the first reading here. And so this is an ordinance of the City Council of the City of CUNA, Idaho, approving the urban renewal plan for the CUNA West Urban Renewal Project, which plan includes revenue allocation, financing provisions, authorizing the city clerk to transmit a copy of this ordinance and other required information to county and state officials and other taxing entities, providing severability, codification, publication by summary, and establishing an effective date. And so that would be the official first reading of the ordinance summary.
Okay. Then, well, I would like to thank all the ladies involved. They all did a great job. And then I would move that we close the evidence presentation and proceed to deliberation.
Second.
Okay, we had a motion and a second to close the evidence presentation and proceed to deliberation. Is there any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
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 All opposed? That motion carries.
Then I would move we waive the three readings of Ordinance 2020-32.
Second.
Motion's made and seconded to waive the three readings of Ordinance Number 2020-32. Is there any further discussion on that? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? That motion carries.
I would now move we approve Ordinance 2020-32.
Second.
Motion's made and seconded to approve Ordinance 2020-32. Is there any further discussion? Jessica, would you poll the council?
Councilmember Cardoza?
Yes.
Councilmember Christensen?
Yes.
Councilmember Laraway?
Yes.
Council President McPherson?
Yes.
And that motion carries. We would also need a motion to approve a summary publication.
I would then move we approve a summary publication of Ordinance 2020-32.
Second.
Motion made and seconded to approve a summary publication of Ordinance 2020-32. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carries. Yay. We did it. Thank you again. I appreciate all the efforts on this. This is a good thing. That brings us to item C, public hearing and consideration to approve case numbers 1908-ZC rezone and 1910-S preliminary plat for the Monarch Landing subdivision. Jace.
Good evening once again, Mr. Mayor, members of the council. For the record, Jace Hellman, Interim Planning and Zoning Director, 751 West 4th Street. Staff is requesting that case numbers 19-08ZC and 19-10S be continued to a date certain due to a staff member's accident. Staff would request that this project be continued to December 15th, 2020.
All right. If there is no objection, we would like to have a motion to table this until December 15th.
Okay. I would move we table case number 1908ZC and 1910S until the December 15th, 2020 meeting.
Second.
Motion's made and seconded to table 1908ZC and 1910-S to the December 15th, 2020 meeting. Is there any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carried. And then that takes us to not being able to turn a page. Public hearing and consideration to approve case numbers 20-01-ZC rezone and 2002-S preliminary plat for Sarasol subdivision.
Good evening once again, Mr. Mayor, members of the council. For the record, Jace Hellman, Interim Planning and Zoning Director, 751 West 4th Street. Staff is requesting that case numbers 20-01ZC and 20-02S be continued to a date certain due to an accident involving a staff member. And staff would request that this project be continued or tabled to December 1st, 2020.
Okay.
All right. I would move we table case number 20-01ZC and 20-02S until the December 1st, 2020 council meeting.
Second.
Motion's made and seconded to table case number 20-01ZC and 20-02S until the December 1st, 2020 council meeting. Is there any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? And that motion carries. And that is all we had on the agenda for tonight. So, and this is kind of one of the things that we're going to be working our way through with Planning and Zoning Department is the way this process used to work, there was one planner that was in charge of the project and was the project manager, I think they even called them. And so they had most all of the working knowledge for these projects as they came through. So the way we're going to be doing this in the future is quite a bit of collaboration between the other planners so that not only one person has all of the direct knowledge to each of these cases. We have run into that before where someone was absent and someone else had to come up and try and present a case that they weren't familiar with. So I think that's going to be a good change that we can make happen, and it will avoid issues like this into the future. So, and again, Troy was severely injured falling off a ladder, and we certainly wish him the best and keep him in your prayers because he's going to be going through some tough times. They've kept him in the hospital and he's going to be there for a few more days probably and some surgeries, and he'll have a long road to recovery there, and he'll be in a wheelchair for a while. So anyway, we certainly wish him and his family the best, and it's unfortunate Troy is big on Christmas time and decided to get up the ladder and start doing some lights on the house, and things went bad. And so anyway, it's unfortunate. But. So, and then like I said, the clerk's office, they we didn't have anybody that tested positive for COVID. However, there were some exposures, and those proved to be negative. And then, but there was some illness there. The illness also turned out to not be COVID. So now we're just down to some people being sick and wanting to get them back. So I think we're going to be in good shape. But every once in a while, we get these curveballs thrown at us, and we can't do anything except send people home till we figure it out. So we should be. We're hoping for maybe at least somewhat back to normal next week, but you know, who knows? and that's kind of, I don't know, I guess, did everybody see our tractor?
Mm-hmm.
I love it. That's one of our coolest art pieces ever. So anyway, I don't know, was there anything anybody else had wanted to mention? Chief John is going to be gone Thursday, I think. Is Thursday his last day? All right. We'll be cutting his umbilical cord. And can I use your big scissors, Nancy?
I'll be able to beat myself out.
So, yeah, and they, unfortunately, because of COVID, they weren't going to be able to do a retirement ceremony for him. So Sheriff's Department was bummed about that, but we'll get something figured out for him eventually for something. But we did our nice one here, so that was good. So, Chief Mike, welcome. Happy to hear you, have you here, and he's already been doing a good job, and so. Hopefully once John leaves and he gets all on out on his own, we won't lose control of him, and it'll be good. But no, I think I'm real pleased with the way things are moving there. So. Anyway, that's all I have for tonight. So if no one else has anything, meeting adjourned. Well, less than an hour.